Test, test. Good afternoon, everyone. At this time, I'm calling the meeting of the Broward Legislative Delegation to hear local bills today to order. Will you please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance? And I'm going to ask Representative Moradis to lead us in the pledge. Flag is over here.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You may be seated. Faith, would you please call the roll at this time?
Senator Ring? Senator Sobel? Senator Sachs?
Yes.
Senator Brennan? Representative Moraitis?
Here.
Representative DuBose?
Here.
Representative Rogers?
Here.
Representative Jacobs? Representative Moskowitz? Representative Edwards? Representative Jenny?
He's here.
He's here.
He's in the
restroom. In the restroom. Okay. Representative Geller? Representative Jones?
Here.
Representative Pritchett?
Here.
Representative Diaz? Representative Stark?
Here.
Representative Trujillo? Representative Clark Reed?
Here.
Senator Smith?
The upper chamber is here.
Okay. So when Evan comes back, we can start the quorum process.
Okay. We can start because our first thing on our agenda is a presentation from Monica Huff-Hines at the State Attorney's Office. Would you please come forward? She's the Executive Director Assistant from the State Attorney's Office. All right, and we have allotted her for 3 minutes to speak.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and members of the delegation. Again, thank you for rescheduling our ability to address the delegation regarding our issues for the State Attorney's Office here in Broward County. First of all, we have just two areas that we wanted to talk to you about, and that is regarding budget, both statewide and local, and some substantive issue areas. The budget statewide, we formed a coalition with the courts, the Attorney General, public defenders, and the state attorneys to work, we call it the Justice Coalition, and that is working towards increasing the salaries of our entry-level and mid-level attorneys so they will remain in state service. We were given an allotment 2 years ago, and this is supposed to be part two, so we'll be working with the delegation on a statewide basis for that. In addition, another statewide issue is the student loans, and this year we're going to have the assistance of the Florida Bar to assist with student loans. Some of you have heard my spiel every year, but this year the Florida Bar is going to help us, and we're going to take it as similar to the way a loan assistance program was created for nurses and DCF investigators. And we're going to keep it to those who have completed 4 years of service. We'll end it at 10 because then they can get the federal loan assistance program, and we're going to salary cap it. So those are two big statewide issues, and we know it's kind of difficult if you're not the party of the majority to be successful in these, but many of you sit on conference committees and have been very helpful to us, so we wanted to make sure that you were aware of them statewide. On a local issue, we are seeking assistance with funding for our Veterans Court, our Mental Health Court, and for public records. As you know, there was, I think, Senator Smith's big body cam bill last year that dealt with public records. We haven't really seen the impact of that yet, but if those body cam videos come to us, we must make sure they're redacted carefully to eliminate those things that don't go out in the public. That is just one area. Is my 3 minutes up? Okay. And so I think those are important on a local level. I would be remiss if I didn't say that with the new courthouse being built, our county commission has been very generous to the state attorney and the other agencies in funding for the furniture for the new building. But there is a small building called the Midrise that I'm seeking funding for furniture, and it's only in the amount of about $347,000. So those are our local funding issues. On substantive issues, we know we'll be working with you on probably juvenile direct file. Yes. Juvenile sealing and expungement, and also minimum mandatories. We understand we'll be addressing those, and I think we're prepared and ready to look at those with you. And also, we'll probably come to you with some assistance once we finish our investigation of what to do about FLACA, since, again, Broward County is the epicenter of this particular drug, and it's really a dangerous situation. So we do have, as you've seen in the paper, the grand jury looking into it, and I hope to bring some recommendations to you. And again, we are always here to review any criminal justice legislation you would like our opinion on or assistance on. We may not always agree on the particular legislation, but I think we do agree that public safety in our community is very, very important to all of us.
Thank you very much for your presentation. Are there any questions?
No, Governor.
Yes.
More of a comment. You know, direct file has been an issue for a while, and I just hope that I would love to see the state attorney's office come with suggestions on how we can get more community confidence in the direct file. And I know that's one of those situations where we may disagree, but there is a confidence issue in that, whether it's a fair process or not. And so anything that we can do to get more confidence in the community that it is being done in a fair and impartial way, I would ask for suggestions from the state attorney's office.
May I briefly respond?
Yes, you may.
Yes, and we will. As you know, Mike has submitted his own recommendations on that, and that's very similar to what members of our delegation have submitted. So we will definitely be working with you on that. Probably the only concern we have is the burglary of dwellings, because we get so many community activists that tell us that they just are upset about the multiple burglary dwellings. So I know we'll work together with you on that.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, Senator Sachs.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to be working on an expungement bill with the Florida Bar, and I would very much welcome your input from the state attorney's office as well, because I think we can agree, all of us, not just on juvenile expungements, but also on adult expungements, how to streamline that. It's an old statute. Let's see if we can streamline it.
We'd be happy to work with you on it. We do local workshops with juveniles to get their records expunged, and we're expanding that to the adult arena. So we're more than happy to clean up that statute with you.
I'll be talking to you. Thanks.
Any more questions, comments? Thank you very much
for
coming. At this time, we're going to move on to the voluntary annexations. We only have one voluntary annexation to be heard this meeting. There are several methods for voluntary annexation using procedures provided in Florida Statute 171. These procedures require a public hearing before the delegation. It is not necessary to vote to approve the annexation. However, if objections are raised, the delegation can take action to set aside the ordinance of the annexing municipality. The voluntary annexation being heard tonight meets the requirements of Florida Statute 171 in that they have agreed upon between the property owner and the municipality. So this is the City of Coconut Creek, Palm Beach Farms Company. Call on Eve Lewis, Assistant City Attorney, and Sheila Rose, Director of Sustainability Development. Members, do you have any objections to this voluntary annexation being heard?
Christmas at first.
Okay. Present. Sorry, I jumped the
gun. No problem. Good afternoon, Madam Chair, delegation. My name is Eve Lewis, and I'm an assistant city attorney for the City of Coconut Creek. Thank you for hearing this voluntary petition for annexation. Included in my request for this hearing, we have provided the delegation with five required items. One is the enacted city ordinance that adopts the annexation. Two is the land survey, which shows the official boundaries for the land to be annexed. Three is a map of of the area to be annexed, as well as its relation to the surrounding area. 4 is the information concerning employee displacement, which is authored by both Broward County and the Broward Sheriff's Office, indicating that no employees will be displaced. And 5 is the petition for voluntary annexation from the property owner. And that also includes the special warranty deed showing the ownership of the property and the legal description. So at this time, I'd like to submit myself for any questions that the delegation has, and the City of Coconut Creek would respectfully request that this get approval.
Thank you very much for your presentation. Members, are there any questions? Representative Rogers.
Thank you. Thank you very much. My question, do we have voters in that parcel that is being considered for annexation?
Folders.
Oh, voters.
Voters. I apologize. Actually, it's one individual. Well, it's a corporation right now that owns the property. It's one land parcel. It's 5 acres. And so it is a corporate owner, and that owner is actually a representative of the corporation is present to answer any particular questions you may have on that specific parcel.
My question only speaks to whether or not there are any voters in that area that was being annexed, and you said no.
No.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Okay. Members, is there any objection to this voluntary annexation? Hearing none, I expect that says you want to get it.
Great. Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. Okay.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
If there's none, let's move on to the local bills. I will now turn the gavel over to the Vice Chair, and he will conduct the meeting from here.
Members, our first local bill is a local bill presented by Representative Grant Clark Reed on behalf of the Board of County Commissioners. Representative Clark Reed, you're recognized to present the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. Please excuse my throat. The annexing bill, the bill I'm being presented with to present to you tonight, has to do with waterway markers. If you remember, this bill came before you last year during the annexation, during the local bills, and there was a little bit of difficulty with it, and we sent it back to the county, and Mr. Cassini is here to tell us exactly what this bill is going to do.
Thank you very much, members. Marty,
she's explained the bill. I think we'll go now to public speakers and Mr. Cassini.
Hi, sorry about that. Members, nice to see all of you in our chambers. Marty Cassini, Legislative Counsel with Broward County. This bill is similar to the bill that we ran last year. Instead of deleting the section requiring the county to cover costs of signage on the intercoastal waterways, we've amended that per the request of the Fish and Wildlife Commission, the Board of Fish and Wildlife Commission, which is the substance of the bill now. So,
are there any questions for Mr. Cassini?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Representative Rogers.
Thank you. Can you explain it? That was a year ago, and
yes,
a lot of things that happened.
Okay.
And when you say the county was responsible for the signage,
correct,
placing signage, you would say paying to have signage, are we no longer having signage and replacement and maintenance of such signage? Can you explain?
Back in the earlier days, back in the 60s, 70s, environmental policy was done through local bills. So it's a hodgepodge of environmental laws, and we were required to provide funding for signage along the intercoastal waterways for certain types of speed zones. And when the Fish and Wildlife Commission, the Florida Fish and Wildlife Commission was established, many of those duties were transferred from the county to the Fish and Wildlife Commission. And so as a part of going back through and making sure that all laws are properly done and that all of the regular oversight is done and given to the Florida Fish and Wildlife Commission, they have specifically requested that we run this bill for them. And that's what it's about.
Thank you for the clarification.
Any more questions? I entertain a motion. of approval of the local bill?
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second?
Second.
Okay. Motion by Representative Rogers, second by Representative Pritchett. Please call the roll on the bill. Unless Representative Clark Reed has a close.
No, you've heard the, what the bill is about, and as I said, those of you who followed last year, this is the same bill.
Great. Faith, call the roll.
Senator Sachs?
Yes.
Representative Moritas?
Yes.
Representative DeBose?
Yes.
Representative Rogers?
Yes.
Representative Jenny?
Yes.
Representative Jones?
Yes.
Representative Pritchett?
Yes.
Representative Stark?
Yes.
Representative Clark Reed?
Yes.
Senator Smith?
Yes.
It passes.
Thank you.
By your vote, the bill passes. I return the gavel back to Representative Clark Reed.
All right. At this time, we will move on to the second local bill, and it's the Fort Lauderdale Anchoring and Mooring of Vessels, and the sponsor is Representative George Moritas, and it's requested by Lee Feldman, City Manager, Fort Lauderdale. I'm going to call on Representative Moritas to present the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This bill would basically set up a water sports recreation activity in the Middle River. There's a boat ramp at George English Park, which is just north of the Middle River Bridge, and I would say for many, many years, that area of the Middle River was used for water skiing, tubing, those sorts of activities. Increasingly, there have been a lot of vessels that have started anchoring in the Middle River, and sometimes fairly close to the seawall, sometimes for very long stays of time. And several years ago, the state preempted any local regulation of anchoring. And so in order to preserve this area as an area for water sports activities and keep it safe, and we're going to have some testimony from the city about, you know, some of the accidents and things that have happened in there, we're proposing to prohibit anchoring within the Middle River area and preserve it for water sports recreation.
All right. The public, anyone from the public want to speak on this? I don't have anyone signed up.
Good afternoon. My name is John Luscombe. I'm with the City of Fort Lauderdale. I'm the Marine Facilities Supervisor, and we think this is a very good idea.
Okay. Why wouldn't you? Okay. Thank you. Is there a question, Mr. Luscombe?
When you said you're saying the Middle River, what are the boundaries of this? What would the boundaries include?
If they went forward with restricting the distance from shore?
No, the boundaries of Middle, when you're describing the Middle River, exactly what are the boundaries of Middle River as you're describing it?
Is it 20th Avenue that runs south along there? Sunrise Bridge?
Representative Moritas?
No. I'm sorry, Madam Chair. It's in the text of the bill. But it's from where the Middle River intersects Intercoastal, south of that Sunrise Intercoastal neighborhood, all the way up through, up to the north end of, what's that called, Ball Harbor, that area? Anyway, the 20th or 21st. It's about a, probably about a mile and a half stretch.
Get behind where the Cadillac dealership is.
Yeah, up to there, right, all the way up north.
So from
there,
Sunrise north of
north,
the Cadillac
past the old Second Press churches, and then all the way south past the Middle River Fixed Bridge at Sunrise and all the way down to the Intercoastal. Most of the
where anchor, it curves over into the Intercoastal.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, I was just trying to get it in my mind with this.
Okay. Yeah, we have questions, yeah.
Senator Sachs, did you have a question? Go right ahead.
Sure did. Thank you so much, Madam Chair. I'm sorry. I think you spoke so quickly. You are with what agency, sir?
I work for the City of Fort Lauderdale. I manage the marine facilities for the city, mooring fields, seawalls, boat ramps, all of that.
And if I may have a continuous a couple
yes.
of questions. Who would be the agency in charge of policing this area and then issuing citations for
the
those.
City's Marine Police Unit.
And I see somebody here in uniform.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
So your jurisdiction, the city Marine Unit, would that coexist with the Sheriff's Marine Unit as well?
Well, the Sheriff's
please
Office...
Please identify yourself.
I'm sorry, I'm Sergeant Todd Miller with the Fort Lauderdale Police Department Marine Unit.
Right.
The Sheriff's Office actually has jurisdiction within our jurisdiction as well, but for this particular bill, we would be doing the majority of the enforcement.
Okay. And in your opinion, gentlemen, officers, you know, what you're saying is that this is a problem that needs to be solved.
Yes.
And this is the best way to solve it.
Yes.
And the citation, I know, is in here, but you think that there would, do you anticipate giving some type of notice to those who are out there already?
I'd like to say, as our number one focus in the Marine Unit is education.
Right.
So obviously, when the bill, if it passes, our first goal would be to educate people that the area is no longer available for anchoring, and then give them the opportunity to move their vessel if they needed to, and the time to do that.
And would that, sir, would that be by issuing warnings rather than just going out and issuing citations, or
it would be,
posting information about it?
It would be in the form of a verbal warning. Again, we don't have any of the documentation to write written warnings at this time for this particular infraction. And I'm sure the city would post some type of notification on their website of any changes.
Okay, very good.
There's other ways to do it too, if I may.
Tell me some of the ways, because
You know, the folks that are anchoring out are very avid cruisers, and they're very well connected to the internet. They have forums, cruising forums. There's publications, waterway publications, that have online access, that they write blogs and talk about changes in navigability of channels, or whether a bridge is locked down, or things like that, to give these folks, while they're transiting the waterways of the state, a heads up to maybe not go there or something like that. So it would be very easily, the word would spread very quickly if something like that happened.
Very good. All right. Thank you, officer.
Question.
Senator Smith?
Hey, whatever happened to Jim, the dockmaster downtown? I don't see him anymore.
He was terminated by the new buyer of Los Angeles Riverfront.
Yeah. He was a nice guy. He was good.
He's a nice guy, too.
Okay. Are there any other questions? Yes, Representative Moratis.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you both for coming today. First question I have is, are there, because I think I want to get this into the record, are there other places for vessels to anchor within the city of Fort Lauderdale? Because I know that will be one concern, is that you're taking away a prime area that people like to anchor. So are there other places to anchor?
Yeah, there are several options. There are other pre-anchoring locations around the city. There's also, we have a mooring field, which is very minimal cost, and he can explain more on that. But there are plenty of other places to anchor.
Okay.
And we're talking, I would say, at the height of season, how many boats would you say? 25 at the most, I would think, at the height of the season. But probably somewhere between 18 and 20.
Right, and throughout, Madam Chair, and throughout the city, I think there's probably 100 at any time, right, that are anchored at different places.
That's correct.
Okay. Another question, Madam Chair?
Yes, go ahead.
And I know at one point we talked about doing perhaps a standoff to the seawall, again, just to get this into the record. Why would you say we need to do a complete ban instead of allowing some vessels to anchor out in the middle of the Middle River?
Well, there's a non-marked navigable waterway in the Middle River, basically up the center. So if you were to put setbacks from the seawall, you would push all of those folks out into the middle, which where now where the tubing and the water sports would go. And so that would create some ingress and egress problems for vessels that are tied up along there. The other problem is that since it's a recreational waterway and you push the boats out into the middle, then the kids are going to be on the tubes dragging closely to these structures, and they can get hurt or killed. And you've probably read about that several times. So.
Right.
Any other questions? Anyone else with a question? All right. Thank you very much for your presentation and public. Anyone else from the public to speak on this issue? All right. At this time, I'm going to call for a motion and a second.
So moved.
Second.
Faith, you may call the roll.
Senator Sachs?
Yes.
Representative Moratis?
Yes.
Representative DeBose?
Yes.
Representative Rogers?
Yes.
Representative Jenny?
Yes.
Representative Geller?
Yes.
Representative Jones?
Yes.
Representative Pritchett?
Yes.
Representative Stark?
Yes.
Representative Clark Reed?
Yes.
Senator Smith?
Yes.
It passes.
All right.
Madam Chair?
Yes. Representative Barretta.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for allowing us to propose this bill, and again, for your leadership on this. And I do anticipate some resistance to this bill as we get up into to Tallahassee, even though I'm in the majority. I really would sincerely appreciate everyone's help on this issue, because it is important for, again, for the kids to have a place to water ski. So thank you.
Madam Chair, if I can just add, there's very few places in the city of Fort Lauderdale where you can go fast. There's very few places where you can actually speed up your boat, and that's one of the rare places you can. And so it doesn't even make sense to have boats mooring there. They can use it more down by Los Olas, right off Los Olas, a good mooring field. But you've got very little bit of waterway where you can actually go fast, and I mean, it makes perfect sense. And so I'd be glad to help out on that.
Thank you.
If I could, ma'am. Yes. This is, I believe this is my district as well. So, speaking as a member of the minority party, I'm not having any problems at all.
From the upper chamber.
Smooth sailing, Representative. Smooth sailing.
Thank you, Senator Sack. Representative Geller.
Promotion.
That's other one. Thank you, Madam Chair. Having arrived a few moments late, I just asked that the minutes reflect my support for item number one as well.
All right, thank you very much. Is there any more discussion on this at all? Okay. We're now moving on to item three, and it's the amending Fort Lauderdale Downtown Development Authority Charter. And this is sponsored by Representative Bobby DeBose, and it's requested by John Millage on behalf of the Fort Lauderdale DDA. Representative DeBose.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The DDA of Fort Lauderdale is requesting a special act to amend the DDA's charter. Three parts: extend the effective date of the DDA charter from 2030 to 2050, also streamline Avalon tax procedures, and include non-homestead residential properties in the DDA boundary. This is a bill that was filed last session as well.
All right. The public to be heard. John Millage.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. John Millage, General Counsel for the Downtown Development Authority. As Representative DeVos mentioned, this is the exact same bill that went through the process last year. The main aspect of it is it allows additional properties, non-homestead properties, to be included with the DDA upon a referendum. And that was a question I think legal counsel had, whether there's a referendum. And so I resolved that, you know, with legal counsel. So at this point, if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them. Thank you.
All right. Are there any questions for Mr. Millage? Yes, Representative Morales.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative DeBose. I know we talked about this bill last year. Has there been any effort to get sort of a, I don't know if the right word is, a referendum of the people who own properties in this area as to whether or not they want to have the taxation extended to these new parts of the property?
Yeah, there's been a more informal discussion. Chris Wren, the Executive Director, has a very good pulse on the downtown and which properties are interested and which are not. It's clear the condos are not interested, and that's why the way it's written this way. The properties that are rental in nature are more interested in, they're very interested in the downtown security program that we've undertaken. And so there was an interest in coming into the DDA. But obviously there has to be a referendum. But Chris Wren is the point person. We've had several initiatives over the years where we stayed very in close contact. The Wave Streetcar Project is one where he had several hundred meetings with the local downtown stakeholders for that process. Not only in the beginning of it, but there's a special assessment that was included in it. So he's got a very good pulse of it. So yes, there has been outreach, and obviously there will be more before the election.
Does anyone have a follow-up? Anyone else? Yes, Representative Stark.
Yeah, I just wanted a little history on the bill, what happened with this last year.
Representative Bowes?
Last year, made it through local and federal, I think, subcommittee, and then, you know, we kind of ended early.
Okay.
I didn't hear that last part. Could you repeat that?
Yes.
The upper chamber disrupted the flow.
I might change my vote.
Are there any other questions or discussions? All right. At this time, I'll have a motion.
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
All right, Faith, would you please call the roll?
Senator Sachs?
Yes.
Representative Moraitis?
Yes.
Representative DuBose?
Yes.
Representative Rogers?
Yes.
Representative Jenny?
Yes.
Representative Geller?
Yes.
Representative Jones?
Yes.
Representative Pritchett?
Yes.
Representative Stark?
Yes.
Representative Clark Reed?
Yes.
Senator Smith?
Yes.
It passes.
All right. Okay. Next on the agenda is the Lauderhill Safe Neighborhood Improvement District. Representative DuBose?
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Requested by Desiree Giles Smith, Deputy City Manager, Lauderhill. Yes, Senator?
Before Representative presents, the requester on this is the Assistant City Manager, Desiree Giles Smith, who is my wife, and she's requesting this in her capacity as Assistant City Manager. I've spoken with legal counsel here in Pass and in Tallahassee, and have received opinions that because she's doing this in her official capacity, she receives no extra remuneration for this bill or not, so I did not have a conflict on the bill because she's just requesting it as the Assistant City Manager for the city.
Thank you for that clarification. Representative DuBose.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This bill probably needs a little explanation, considering it's been before us in the past, I guess, 3-4 sessions. But just primarily, it provides a mechanism for communities to invest in important safety projects. That's the bill.
That's the bill. At this time, we'll have the public and Alfreda Cowan.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Alfreda Cowan, and I'm the General Counsel for the Safe Neighborhood District, and I've had the pleasure of representing the residents of the city for some time on this issue. But before I proceed with the substance, let me just say to Senator Smith, I'll be happy to let his wife know that he demoted her from Deputy City Manager to Assistant City Manager.
Now,
having said that, I'm real happy to have you to entertain this motion, this bill for us once again. As you heard, we've been through this process a couple times before. Last year was the first time we did it as a local bill, and we didn't get much traction in the committees on last year. But before that, we did on the state level to change the statute. We got quite a bit of progress on that. We were able to get heard in our three Senate committees and have those all passed. We had a little bit of problems on the House level, which we were able to listen to the concerns and address those concerns. One of the concerns where they didn't want the project, the bond, to outlive what the item is they were doing, and we addressed those. They wanted some limits, so we think we incorporated all the changes that were articulated to us from our members of the House. And so, from our standpoint, we think it is a good bill. Our residents are anxious to have it. It is not about a tax. It's not about a tax at all. Instead, it's a voluntary assessment that goes to referendum and then vote and then approval by the advisory council and then ultimately overseen by the city as a dependent district. So it has a lot of channels, and it's only about what the residents want. And what the residents have said made clear to us what they want is safety. They want to be able to walk through the neighborhoods and know that they're safe, so they need cameras. They want to be able to see any risk coming. They need cameras, and they need security guards, and they need all those things that they're not able to do now. So they assess themselves at statutory maximums. They can only do, it took 3 years for one of them to do a phase one of security cameras. While the rest of the community is saying, why do you get to have your part of the neighborhood safe, and mine is still unsafe? So what we're asking to allow them to leverage the money that they're already collecting themselves in a manner that benefits the entire community in one shot. And we think we can accomplish that with your help.
Thank you. Mr. Bailey, Mario Bailey?
Sure. Mario Bailey from Beckham Polycarp. I just wanted to add a few points. The district they were created by the legislature, there are 31 districts in Florida, 14 in Broward. The Broward League of Cities had supported this bill in the past as a regular bill. The retailers, Florida Retail Association has also supported the bill. The bill has passed the Senate in 2013-2014. It has been a bipartisan bill. In 2014, the Economic Affairs Chair, Representative Brian Nelson, was the House sponsor, along with Senator Moreen. And the House that passed Economic and Choice Subcommittee and was asked to be brought back as a local bill, so that's why we brought it back as a local bill.
Thank you. Are there any questions of the presenters? Any questions, members? Yes, Representative Moratis.
And I want to try to help with this bill this year, and I really appreciate that. I know some of the concerns, again, about borrowing in general, and I know you kind of mentioned going in. Do any of these districts right now presently do any borrowing throughout the state, or is this just a unique thing for...
They're not allowed in statute, and that's what we're trying to do in this bill.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
And how long do you foresee these bonds? I mean, does the bill have a limit on how many years the bond can go? I know you said the life of the project, but, I mean, could that be 20 years? Or, I mean, do we want to limit this to something? Because, this is the money that really pays for extra police officers and those sorts of things, I understand it.
Well, part of it is, for instance, the cameras. It won't set it at 10 years if the camera's life is only 5 years. So the camera's life is 5 years. The duration of the bond for that purpose cannot exceed 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
We decided that it wouldn't be best to have a hard number, because we did discuss hard numbers before, but based on the different projects it's not reasonable. It may need to be 20 years for something, but if it doesn't, we need to limit it to two if the life of the project is two. And so this would allow them to continue to have the security officers on scene and pay off their bonds while they continue to assess themselves at the rate that they're already doing.
And they're also only able to borrow off of their assessment that they currently assess themselves. And so.
Mm-hmm. And just a clarification to your last response, because I said something to Representative Moraitis. When we first started this, I did reach out to quite a few of the entities that were doing them, and I did find one that had bonded, and I reached out to see what authority were they pursuing to do so. We all agree that the statute doesn't prohibit it, but it doesn't expressly permit it, which means the Attorney General opinion said if it wasn't expressly permitted, then it must be prohibitive. And their legal counsel interpreted it differently. We wanted to do it safe and by the book, and hence
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are there any other questions of Representative Shepherd Jones?
Thank you, Madam Chair. No question, rather a statement of to the delegation that I carried this in my freshman year, and I think this is a good bill, definitely dealing with safety, so I ask that hopefully that the delegation support this issue.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions? Motion? Second?
Second.
Would you please call the roll, Faith?
Okay. Senator Sachs?
Yes.
Representative Moraitis?
Yes.
Representative DeBose?
Yes.
Representative Rogers?
Yes.
Representative Jenny?
Yes.
Representative Geller?
Yes.
Representative Jones?
Yes.
Representative Stark?
Yes.
Representative Park Reed?
Yes.
Senator Smith?
Yeah.
Passes.
Okay. Next on the agenda and local bill, Memorial Healthcare Systems Charter Change. And this is sponsored by Representative Rick Stark, requested by Matthew Mihark, Executive Vice President and CAO of Memorial Healthcare Systems. Representative Stark.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The South Broward Hospital District is requesting consideration of an act that would amend its charter to clarify existing provisions regarding its investment authority of its District Board of Governors. This act would essentially mirror current state language regarding investment authority and thus align it with the state. The clarification to the charter cannot be accomplished at the local level because changes to the charter must be accomplished through an enactment of special act by the state legislature. The district's charter was originally enacted in 1947. It has been updated most recently, 2004. This is basically a modernization of the charter. The district's investment authority is addressed in Section 37 of its charter. This in part provides that in addition to any investment by general law, the district's board has authority to invest any funds in its control or possession in accordance with an investment policy approved by the board that mandates prudent investment practices. And the charter also lists a number of instruments that are authorized for investment. And the district believes it is prudent to clarify the board's authority and, like it says, to amend and make it align with the current state language and the way the state works. And that is the bill.
All right. Thank you. Public to be heard. I'd like Mr. Muhart to come forward.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and delegates. My name is Matt Muhart. I'm Executive Vice President at Memorial Healthcare System, also known as South Broward Hospital District. As the representative stated, this proposed charter amendment really helps us to mirror and align our current investment policy guidelines with that which is embodied in Florida Statute 218-415. So it's a relatively straightforward clarification and alignment with the current statute.
Thank you. Are any questions? Representative Baratis.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Moore, can you be specific as to what types of investments right now that you can't pursue that you would be able to pursue if we authorize this language?
There actually is no change in the permitted investments. This is simply just to make sure that the two documents consistently align. Our expectations that over time 218-415 may be amended. And we saw this opportunity to say, let's just make sure that our charter is consistent with statute, so as statute changes, we don't have to go back and change charter.
Follow-up, Representative Rogers.
I know you're the South Broward Hospital District.
Yes.
And I'm just thinking about all of our hospital taxing districts.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you know whether or not your counterpart on the north side is aligned with a state investment authority like you are doing?
I don't have any specific knowledge, no, ma'am.
Okay, just curious. In Tallahassee, they would ask which other hospital or so-and-so does participate. You know, we do ask those questions in committees.
Yes.
So I was just making sure you understand you might be asked that question. Why
Thank
is
you.
This good for the South and not for the North? What are you doing in best practices? I've heard that presented before. What are you doing that we are not doing on the north side? So
yes.
Sometimes it's good to have those conversations.
We appreciate that feedback, but in particular, though, we're really just making sure that the two documents align. Thank you.
Any more questions? Yes, Representative Geller.
Just to clarify, and I certainly think it's a good idea. Anything besides the prudent investment standard that's being modernized?
No, the prudent investment standard has not been modernized.
Yeah. In line with the current state mandate. Are there any other changes for approval?
No.
Just that.
What we're doing is we're including language in our charter that makes specific reference to 218-415. Our charter also lists a number of investments which really now become those that are listed in 218-415, which are permitted.
Any other questions, comments? I'll have a motion.
So moved.
Second. Faith, would you please call the roll?
Okay. Senator Sachs?
Yes.
Representative Moraitis?
Here.
Representative DeBose?
Here.
Wait, did you say here
yes.
or yes?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Representative DeBose?
Yes.
Representative Rogers?
Yes.
Representative Jenny?
Yes.
Representative Geller?
Yes.
Representative Jones?
Yes.
Representative Stark?
Yes.
Representative Clark Reed?
Yes.
Senator Smith?
Yes.
Passes.
All right. We have had two requests for persons to speak at this time. One? Oh, okay.
questions on that? Okay.
Okay, Representative, you did not want to speak? Senator, I'm sorry. Senator Silva?
That's inexcusable, but that's, you know. I was voted for one time, or separate times, or whatever.
Would you please come to the podium?
Yeah, sure. Robin Crowe is the one that's going to speak.
Oh, you're on the same subject?
Give moral support.
Oh, okay, all right.
Wouldn't that require you?
Madam Chair and delegates, thank you so much for allowing me to speak just very briefly on a project that we started in Broward County. It was started 4 years ago, and it's gotten tremendous national attention, and now we're being called from all over the state in order to implement our project. And I said, oh my gosh, I better talk to my friends at home. Have you ever considered how are we going to provide quality early child care in low to moderate districts, income districts, when client fees cannot pay what is necessary in order to offer quality child care? Also, given the fact that most of the center owners and administrators have no business background. So we, 4 years ago, incubated an idea called the Business and Leadership Institute for Early Learning. We've been to the White House with this project, and we have had over 100 early child care providers in this community go through CEO school. We have partnered with Wells Fargo, FBL, the A.D. Henderson Foundation, NOVA, and FIU University. And it's basically a course over 4 months that is taught by Wells Fargo, FBL, and some of the leading corporations to our provider community, looking at the issues that are strictly related to their small business and what can they do to help them not be so attached to government subsidies and other kind of government programs so that they can stand on their own. And again, I want to thank you. I brought with me a woman who's very instrumental in the success, Julia Musella, who is an early child care provider owner and has for 4 years worked very closely with me and with many of our Broward providers in order to get this off the ground. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Questions? Representative Rogers?
Thank you. Is there any way you can get us an electronic version of
yes.
I would love for you to have that.
And I would like to come and meet each one of you and explain the project, because okay. We're very excited, and it's really been a group of providers that have gotten this off the ground.
Okay. One follow-up question, Madam Chair.
Yes.
You mentioned in your presentation about small businesses and not being addicted or reliance on subsidies. Can you just elaborate?
Sure. Most of our providers that go through our program are receiving slot dollars, SR dollars. You know, in Broward, I think there's like 40 million plus 50 for VPK. So the problem becomes they are in many cases relying on those slot dollars to help bolster their business, and that changes every year. So they're really not standing on solid ground. We know that their main business is the real estate business, by the way, because if they have a center that is suited for 100 or 150 kids and they're not running at capacity, they're running at 60 kids, what are they going to do with that real estate? And how are they going to handle their staffing and their human resources? And we really, we bring top real estate companies in to teach them how to negotiate their leases. So, again, it's giving them all that business acumen so that they can start to get those dollars because they're smart business people and not just dependent on the subsidized care and the SR dollars.
Questions? I have a question.
Sure.
Is this program, how do you fund this program? How are you?
Amazing. Wells Fargo, FPL, A.D. Henderson, the Children's Trust, the ELC, and we all have volunteered our time, basically. So now we are going to look to try to get this anchored so that it can get up and running in the way that it needs to get up and running. We have had calls from Palm Beach, Jacksonville, Orlando, all over the state, that they'd like to replicate our business model. and we've talked to Wells Fargo and actually Florida Blue as well, as if they would come in to help replicate the model statewide. And we just applied for our 501c3.
All right, so tonight you're just here to present this information.
To introduce it.
Introduce the program. Thank you very much. Early childhood is something that I'm very interested in. Of course, making sure that our centers that are providing the services are doing so in a quality manner, and that their business is of quality as well. Thank you.
Thank you all very much.
You're welcome. Yes.
Madam Chair,
Senator,
first of all, I want to thank you for allowing Robin to make that presentation, because this touches on everything that is so critical and important. And I think it's going to be a big economic development aspect also, because if you think about what is happening with regard to this, it's going to have an economic impact on the community in jobs, in children being able to learn. You know, back in the 80s when I was in the legislature, and all of you look a lot younger than I am now, but in the early 80s, I heard this presentation from the Kellogg Corporation about children 2 to 4 years old being the most, you know, able to learn at that particular age. And so we're touching on all these issues. So I thank you for allowing Robin to make that presentation. I'm going to try and assist her gratis and help her, because I think this is so important to our communities throughout
the
state. Thank you. I am happy to be back here, by the way. A lot of you don't know this, but I was a member of the Broward delegation back in the 80s. And I was a municipal judge in Lauderdale Lakes, and my grandchildren now live in Weston. So I have a lot of ties to Broward County, even though I was primarily in Miami-Dade. So
well, it's a pleasure. Thank you. Thank pleasure. You very much, and thank you for your service. All right, announcements?
Yes. Thank you so much, Madam Chair. I'd like to welcome all of the members of this delegation to a meeting that I'm having at the Fort Lauderdale City Commission that is going to take place on October 13th, and this is what it's about. Jeff Atwater's office is the Office of Insurance Regulation. His consumer advocate for the people of Florida will be here. She's coming from Tallahassee for one full day. First part of the day is going to be here in Broward County. The second part of the day is going to be in Palm Beach County. So if any member of this delegation wants to meet me there, work with us on taking care of our constituents' issues when it comes to property insurance, this is a big deal. Homeowners insurance, any type of insurance. I will send to you probably tomorrow the information on it. I've done this before. It is amazing what a great service it is for our constituents, because they can come and they will meet individually with staff from the Office of Insurance Regulation, Jeff Atwater's office, and discuss with them, with the regulators, what issues they have on their property insurance. And it is something to look forward to. I'll send it out to you tomorrow electronically. But I just wanted to tell you, it's on October 13th in the morning at the Fort Lauderdale City Commission office room, and I'll get it to you, and let me know, because you can be part of that, and you can send that out to your constituents, and it's a good public service for anybody and everybody.
Thank you.
Good outreach. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Senator Sachs. Representative Rogers?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator, I'm so happy you're doing this. Last year, this delegation had an insurance committee, and there were some findings from that committee. We'd like to share it with you.
Perfect.
So you can make sure staff come prepared to answer those specific questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hope to see you at the airport soon.
Any other announcements? Well, I'd just like to formally welcome our new executive director, Andrea Knowles. She started on Monday.
Hey, Andrea. Hey.
And you know the office is here for your needs to service the delegation. Please make use of it. All right? No other matters to come before this body. I move for adjournment.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
You're welcome.
All right. Where do I get this stamped?